God, A Biography by Jack Miles. This book is read by Michael Pritchard. Dedication to Jacqueline and for Kathleen. Preliminary quotation. The Spirit comes to guide me in my need. I write, In the beginning was the deed. Goethe. Keynote: The Image and the Original. That God created mankind, male and female, in His own image, is a matter of faith. That our forebears strove for centuries to perfect themselves in the image of their God is a matter of historical fact. During the long centuries when the God of the Jews and the Christians was the unchallenged ultimate reality of the West, European and, later, American men and women consciously sought to model themselves on him. They believed that by trying, they could make themselves into better copies of the divine original, and they bent themselves diligently to the task. Imitatio Dei, the imitation of God, was a central category in Jewish piety. The imitation of Christ, God made man, was equally central for Christians. Many in the West no longer believe in God, but lost belief, like a lost fortune, has effects that linger. A young man raised in wealth may, when he comes of age, give his fortune away and live in poverty. His character, however, will remain that of a man raised in wealth, for he cannot give his history away. In a similar way, centuries of rigorous, godly character building have created an ideal of human character that stands fast, even though for many its foundation has been removed. When Westerners encounter a culture with a different ideal, when we find ourselves saying, for example, "The Japanese are different," we discover, indirectly, the strangeness and durability of our own ideal, our inherited sense of what a human being should be. In innumerable external ways, Japan and the West have grown alike. Japan eats beef. The West eats sushi. Japan wears business suits. Kimono has entered the Western vocabulary. Yet a deep difference abides. For Japan was looking into a different religio-cultural mirror during the centuries when the God of the Bible was the mirror of the West. This book about God aims to place the biblical mirror, cleansed and polished, in the reader's hands. For non-Westerners, knowledge of the God whom the West has worshipped opens a uniquely direct path to the core and origin of the Western ideal of character. But for Westerners themselves, a deepened knowledge of this God can serve to render conscious and sophisticated what is otherwise typically unconscious and naive. We are all, in a way, immigrants from the past. And just as an immigrant returning after many years to the land of his birth may see his own face in the faces of strangers, so the modern, Western, secular reader may feel a tremor of self-recognition in the presence of the ancient protagonist of the Bible. How can an unbeliever enter the presence of God? From generation to generation, Judaism and Christianity have transmitted their knowledge of God in several ways. For the few, there have been, and still are, the demanding and sometimes esoteric disciplines of asceticism, mysticism, and theology. For the many, there is, remarkably perhaps, a book that an unbeliever no less than a believer may open and read. Knowledge of God as a literary character neither precludes nor requires belief in God, and it is this kind of knowledge that the book before you attempts to mediate. Philosophers of religion have sometimes claimed that all gods are projections of the human personality. And so it may be. But if so, we must at least recognize the empirical fact that many human beings, Rather than project their own personalities upon gods wholly of their own creation, have chosen to introject, take into themselves, the religious projections of other human personalities. This is why religion excites so much fascination, envy, and sometimes rage in writers and literary critics who give the matter much thought. Religion, Western religion in particular, may be seen as literature that has succeeded beyond any writer's wildest dreams. Any character who comes to life in a work of literary art may have some degree of influence over real people who encounter the work. Miguel de Cervantes' Don Quixote, in which the title character models himself on the popular literature of his day, is an incomparably poignant and hilarious picture of this process in action. Cervantes surely thought about the influence that his own work would eventually have, and indeed he presents his real Don Quixote encountering people who know of a literary character by the same name. In our own day, millions fuse the real lives and the screen lives of movie actors, assign the combination an importance greater than any they concede to the real human beings whom they know, and then suffer the melancholy consequences. Their flesh is sad, alas, and they have seen all the movies. No character, however, on stage, page, or screen, has ever had the reception that God has had. God is more than a household word in the West. He is, welcome or not, a virtual member of the Western family. Parents who would be done with him cannot keep their children from him. For not only has everyone heard of him, everyone, even now, can tell you something about him. Playwright Neil Simon published a comedy, God's Favorite, some years ago, based on the biblical book of Job. Few who saw the play had read the biblical book, but there was no need. They already knew what God was like well enough to get the jokes. If nothing is serious, nothing is funny, as Oscar Wilde once wrote. Whence came the serious God idea in the minds of Simon's ready-to-roar Broadway audience? It came almost entirely from the Bible, and in more specific human terms, it came from those who wrote the Bible. To the eyes of faith, the Bible is not just words about God, but also the Word of God. He is its author as well as its protagonist. But whether the ancient writers who wrote the Bible created God or merely wrote down God's revelation of himself, their work has been, in literary terms, a staggering success. It has been read aloud every week for 2,000 years to audiences who have received it with utmost seriousness and consciously sought to maximize its influence upon themselves. In this, it is certainly without parallel in Western literature, and probably without parallel in all literature. The Quran comes immediately to mind, but Muslims do not regard the Quran as literature. It occupies for them a metaphysical niche all its own. Jews and Christians, by contrast, while revering the Bible as more than mere literature, do not deny that it is also literature and generally concede that it may be appreciated as such without blasphemy. Religiously fostered appreciation of the Bible attends centrally and explicitly to the goodness of God. Jews and Christians have adored God as the origin of all virtue, a wellspring of justice, wisdom, mercy, patience, strength, and love. But peripherally and implicitly, they have also grown accustomed and then attached, over the centuries, to what we may call God's anxiety. God is, as I shall try to show in the book that follows, an amalgam of several personalities in one character. Tension among these personalities makes God difficult, but it also makes him compelling, even addictive. While consciously emulating his virtues, the West has unconsciously assimilated the anxiety-inducing tension between his unity and his multiplicity. In the end, despite the longing Westerners sometimes feel for a simpler, less anxious, more centered human ideal. The only people whom we find satisfyingly real are people whose identity binds several incompatible sub-identities together. As Westerners get to know one another personally, this is what we seek to learn about one another. Incongruity and inner conflict are not just permitted in Western culture. They are all but required. People who are merely clever about playing various roles fall short of this ideal. They have personality, or a repertory of personalities, but lack character. Uncomplicated, simple people, who know who they are without ado and embrace an assigned role without struggle, also fall short of the ideal. We may admire their inner peace, but in the West we are unlikely to imitate them. Centered, and all too centered, they have character but little personality. They bore us as we would bore ourselves if we were like them. We make matters so difficult for ourselves because our forebears understood themselves to be the image of a God who, in effect, had made matters similarly difficult for himself. Monotheism recognizes only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. The Bible insists on nothing about God more than on his unity. God is the Rock of Ages, integrity in person. And yet this same being combines several personalities. Either mere unity, character alone, or mere multiplicity, personality alone, would have been so much easier. But he is both. And so the image of the human that derives from him requires both. God is no saint, strange to say. There is much to object to in him, and many attempts have been made to improve him. Much that the Bible says about him is rarely preached from the pulpit because, examined too closely, it becomes a scandal. But if only some of the Bible is actively preached, none of the Bible is quite denied. On the improbably unexpurgated biblical page, God remains as he has been. The original, who was the faith of our fathers, and whose image is living still within us as a difficult but dynamic secular ideal.